One of SA's fastest growing sales and rental companies, Sold by McGain Again. And now you can listen to Beck and Soda again on this podcast. Enjoy.
I think they're a mix of calm and crazy.
They're just fun.
They're like a married couple.
They're hilarious.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Start listening.
Welcome along to the podcast. Beck Morse, you're looking very bright and bubbly.
Oh, thank you so much. It's amazing how different I look from one show to the next. It's my vitamin C cream. Hey, you are going to flex your brain matter later in the show with this skill that we have identified. And look, I don't like to blow smoke up your bottom, but you are very, very good at identifying accents, not just the country, but the region.
Look, most people can pick an accent, I reckon. Like, your Irish is easy, maybe you're German, you're Scottish. But there's one thing, Beck, I think, and, you know, trying to be well-travelled in my life, which I haven't always been, I really like to get into your regions as well as just your country. So you're going to put me to the test. I'm a little nervous about this because I'm not sure if I'm going to have 100% success rate.
Should buy someone a drink before you get into their region. We're going to test you later this hour. Stick around.
It's the podcast, Beck and Soda on SAFM.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Now, this morning when I saw you in the car park, I looked out and I said, just a pleasant, hey, how was your night? Come on.
What'd you do last night?
Drop it up.
I lost an hour and a half of my life last night that I would never get back watching Maths.
But you just ripped out the car door.
Well,
bang.
The kids were watching Devil Wears Prada in another room and they were laughing and having fun. They were actually watching it because we have a Japanese exchange student. They were watching it dubbed in Japanese with English subtitles, which was an interesting way to watch it. Yeah. And I had such FOMO. But we are chatting to Lauren from Maths, and I haven't watched it this season. And I thought, you know what? I need to get across it. And I know a lot of you out there are addicted, and, you know, zero judgment on you. Maybe it was I was coming in late, but I was mortified by these people. They're all from the Gold Coast. Every comment was like, will you move to the Gold Coast for me? I'm like, don't you all live on the Gold Coast? There was a lot of lip filler. I don't know how any of them were holding liquid in their mouths. And I was mortified by the conduct of these people.
Right.
I can't – I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, Lauren, in advance for when we speak to you, but is this television?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Oh, wow. I don't know if it's a particularly bad season.
Does anyone actually look like they're really in love?
Yeah, but that's boring.
Right.
So there are a couple who are in love. Eden, who is originally from South Australia, her guy with the really long hair said he loved her last night.
Oh, right. That's sweet.
Yeah, that was nice. There was another couple that said they were falling for each other.
Oh, boring.
Yeah.
More importantly, who was teaming up and why?
Yeah, well, the drama over texts and cheating and who, that's what we talked to Lauren about. Lauren was in the middle of that.
Yeah, right.
Lauren was very angry. She called Jono a snake.
Is Jono a snake?
Well, yeah, I think Jono's a snake.
Right.
I just don't really understand. You know what? If it was a real life, you'd walk away from the dinner party or you'd walk away from the relationship. But if you want Instagram followers and likes, then you stay at the dinner party.
How would you go in Maths, do you reckon?
Oh, well, my lips are real. What are you laughing at?
You on Maths?
I would.
How do you reckon you'd go?
Would you
be the villain? Do you reckon they?
I'd probably get a villain edit. Just the whole concept of walking down the aisle to a complete stranger.
It's
not for me.
What do you reckon if you were sitting at one of the tables, like, you know, when they do the dinners, do you reckon you'd just sit in there and hold your partner's hand, or do you reckon you'd get right amongst it?
I think I'd take a book and sit in the corner and try and stay out of it.
Now, what would you really do, do you reckon?
Hold my husband in inverted commas hands, who I'd met 5 minutes ago, and keep saying, my husband, the experiment. Yeah. It's not an experiment, it's an opportunity for people to get famous quickly.
What would you do then on the if you weren't doing that?
Look, I'd probably get involved. Maybe I'd throw some wine. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk to Lauren later, but I'm so sorry. Yeah, I know it was in the name of research, but I'm watching The Devil Wears Prada next time I get a choice.
In Japanese.
I would rather watch something in Japanese than Maths.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Hey, last night on 7 News, Beck was running around doing the sport, and then I caught this little bit of audio. Have a listen.
Don't know why the dress was in the car. That wasn't me. As he moved the stuff to put the storage in the car, put the dress on top of the car to not crush it, and then proceeded to drive off.
So groom-to-be has got the wife's wedding dress in a box on top of his car, and they've been able to get the CCTV vision, and he's driven off and she's lost her dress.
I've done that with a coffee cup before, yes. But not a $2,000 dream dress. Yeah. Oh, poor Lindell.
You know what it's worth, $2,000?
$2,000.
Is that standard for a wedding dress?
That's actually a little bit unders these days.
So what?
It's about what I spent on mine 20 years ago. I reckon women are spending probably 5 to 10 these days on wedding dresses.
On a dress they're going to wear once? Wow. Yep. Okay. Look, obviously she's lost it. I've just been handed a list of comments here by producer Rachel. This is what people on social media have said about the story. That looks like one of my bed sheets that was pinched off my clothesline.
100% it does.
What about this one? Bianca, probably a good thing it fell off the roof. Looks like a sheet with a bow.
Oh, yep. That's her dream dress.
Maybe it was a sign to buy a nicer, better wedding dress. I'd never be caught dead in that. It looks like a drop sheet tied up.
Drop sheet? Have you seen the dress?
No. What about this? Hang on, honey. You could remake that with a bed sheet in the photo.
Oh, okay.
So that's a wedding dress. Looks like, but these people are just ruthless on her.
She's posted a selfie in front of a bed. This is the dress.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a bed sheet.
Look, it's got toga party vibes.
Absolutely.
It's got a big bow at the top. I think it's pretty. I think the bow is very in this season, and that's... I do wonder about the fact that when you arrive as a bride, you want people to be like, oh, what? I haven't seen the dress before, and now all of Australia's seen the dress.
Well, okay, would you wear that to a wedding, let's be honest, if you were getting married?
I like it. I actually like it. It's simple, it's elegant. She might have a beach wedding.
This is like one of those David Beckham to posh questions about what she went to school.
No. Be honest.
Would you wear that dress if you were getting married?
Possibly. I don't want to... She's lost
don't
her
lie.
Wedding dress and now people are questioning her fashion taste.
Would you wear
taste.
That dress if you were getting married? Be honest.
I would wear something more fitted, but that's just me. That's just me.
You think it's a bed sheet too?
You look beautiful, Lindell. I hope you get it back.
You think it's a bed sheet, don't you?
I did not say that.
Drop sheet?
I hope she gets it back and she has a beautiful wedding day and she will be a beautiful bride.
Be honest.
I think the bow is beautiful, Lindell, and good luck finding it.
Be honest.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
I'll tell you one thing I love is a little bit of Japanese food. Beck, I was into experimentation last night.
That's what you were experimenting.
Yeah, now you've got your Japanese exchange student called Akari.
Yes.
Have you taken her out to eat a range of different foods?
Yes, sushi train.
Seriously.
Why would I take her to Japanese food when she eats Japanese food at home?
Have you taken her to other places to try different types of food?
She's had pizza, she's had fish and chips.
Cool.
Yeah.
She can't get
that stuff in Japan?
She's had a barbecue.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, little Felix, my 11-year-old, he's in year six. He's got to do an assignment at the moment. He's comparing two cultures, Australia and Japan.
That's great. Cool.
So they're looking at different geographical locations, all these different things. And then he's doing a section on food.
Yeah.
So last night he goes, Dad, can we go to the Japanese restaurant? And I said, absolutely. And he said, we know the standards, your sushi, your sashimi, nigiri. What's nigiri?
Nigiri is a version of sushi, isn't it?
Yeah. What did you try to say it like you're Italian? Nigiri.
Nigiri. Onigiri.
You know, miso, we know all these things.
Tempura?
There you go. Mm. Deep fried with the batter. Mm. So we know all this stuff because so many of us now eat sushi when 20 years ago, you know, maybe
edamame?
30 years ago, we wouldn't. Edamame beans. But I said to him, look, we know all these common things and he loves his sashimi. But I said, let's go and try things on the menu you've never tried. So then you can write about the different types of Japanese food that people might know. We're not talking your California rolls.
No. Is this how you help him with his homework?
Absolutely. So we decided to go into the Japanese restaurant and I said, right, the only things we can order are things we don't know what they are.
That's good.
Right, just to do something different and you can do that. So first up, we ordered some yakitori. What's yakitori? Any idea?
I don't know yakitori.
Grilled chicken skewers.
Okay.
Right, they call it yakitori. And then we went with a bit of tonkatsu.
Soup?
No, that's breaded pork cutlet, okay. Right? So, you know, you're getting the idea. With all these different things, he's taking little photos of them. He's going to download on his PowerPoint.
It's practical.
It's like going
like
out to dinner with me, photographing the food.
Right, yeah, absolutely. This is not for him to be a grammar.
A food blogger.
Yeah, exactly. And then we got to takoyaki. You know what takoyaki is?
No, I don't know takoyaki either.
Right. They're octopus balls. You know, those, they come out, they're sort of reasonable size, little round balls, got a really nice sort of creamy sauce on them. And I said, he said, what are these, Dad? And I said, they're takoyaki. And eight of them came out. And I go, they're octopus balls, and he's putting them in his mouth. And I said, there's eight, because octopuses have eight balls.
Do they?
Right. And he's gone, he's looking at me and he's chewing it. And
this is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
The spectators at Friday night's Crows versus Geelong clash would have seen the third quarter interrupted by a pitch invader. 22-year-old guy dressed in black who jumped onto the field, tackled by Ben Keys until security could get to him.
Keys threw him around. Well, you saw the vision showed him. He sort of walked up with his phone onto the ground, and as he jumped the fence, he grabbed the security guard's hat, stuck it on his head, and then ran. It was actually like a scene from Benny Hill. I don't know if you remember Benny Hill, but he was the old English comedian. They all run around at the end. This bloke's running around. Security guards are chasing him. And then it took Keezy, the big unit from the Crows, just to take this bloke down to get him sorted for security.
And you had Keezy on 7 News last night just just being real chill, just really downplaying what they do out there and on the oval.
Yeah, sort of never seen someone get involved so close to the play. Security weren't able to come out. They didn't want to obviously put themselves in danger. It's pretty fast paced and a lot of sort of strong men running around.
That's it, KZ.
Oh, security, they couldn't come out. Yeah. They didn't want to be in danger with all those strong men out there.
Absolutely. Beck, you go to the footy, right? If you go and sit on ground level and you have a look at the size of these boys.
I think the security guards would have got in, KZ.
Yeah. Well, mate, I saw the security guard, Jason, and he couldn't keep up with this bloke, so it took KZ. It is very, very quick footy when you watch it at the ground level at AFL.
Oh, yeah, fast-paced strong man.
Big man.
Big strong man.
Big man.
How would you go these days?
Mate, I would be cleaned up.
You reckon?
I would be that far. I would struggle to get the security guard, let alone the bloke in the black. It is frightening the speed that they play at. And I've got to say, these boys are massive units. But, yeah, this bloke come out in a full black, run around.
Yeah. See, for me, look, I'm not endorsing or encouraging this behaviour, but I feel like if you're going to do it, get nude. Get your gear off. Be a streaker. Don't just be a pitch invader. Be a streaker. Make a spectacle of yourself.
Right, Beck.
Give us something to look at.
Do you know that 42 years ago, there was a lady, and her name is still memorable because, JB, you just asked me. You said, what was the lady's name, the famous streaker in the footy? Helen D'Amico. I'll never forget it.
How do you remember a streaker's name from 40 years ago?
Anyone who loves footy, she's number one streaker. In the history of streaking, her name is known by people who love footy.
Who has a list of streakers? Like, you have top three movies, not top three streakers.
No, she's number one, and then there's no two or three. Helen D'Amico, 1982, 42 years ago, VFL Grand Final, Richmond taking on Carlton. She ran on the field. She was buck naked except for a scarf, and Bruce Doole, who played for Carlton, had to grab her scarf and pull her down. The umpire, one umpire back then, a guy called Glenn James, ripping umpire, this is what he said about it.
And here's this girl, she's jumping around. I thought there were three footies on the ground.
Hey, is there someone out there? Am I the only person? Surely there is someone out there. 131060, give us a call. Did you remember that her name was Helen D'Amico? There's got to be a footy fan in Adelaide listening who can remember that her name's Helen D'Amico.
Can I play that again?
There's this girl. She's jumping around. I thought there were three footies on the ground.
How good's that? See, they went from one umpire to three umpires because they had so many footies on the ground they couldn't control them.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Obviously on Friday night at the Adelaide Oval, we saw that there was a pitch invader or a ground invader in his black kit, and he's in all sorts of trouble now, Bet.
Yeah, up to $5,000 fine and 3 years ban.
Now, what happened was Ben Keys from the Crows, he had to bring this bloke down because security couldn't get hold of him. And then it reminded
you.
Yeah, 1982. I can remember this. I remember seeing the vision as a little kid and watching it since. 1982 grand final. It's a VFL before it even became the AFL. Carlton are taking on Richmond, and a streaker. I think she might have been a stripper too at the time. Helen D'Amico ran onto the ground, Beck, and Bruce Doole, one of the Carlton players, the flying doormat as he was known, went and chased her, and she had the scarf on, and then they actually, when she left the ground, they gave her a cardigan and she just walked off casually with one security guard, right? She wasn't fighting, but it was an iconic moment, and I cannot believe that I can still remember that her name is Helen D'Amico. We put the call out. Is there anyone else that could remember her name? Trish from Ovingham. Morning, Trish.
Good morning. Yes, I clearly remember it being the front pages of the papers. It was on the news. I remember the vision of a scarf.
Yes.
I think it was a cult one over the extra two footballs.
Trish, would you have got the name, though?
I would have had the surname, Dimitro. Yes, for sure.
See?
Helen was sort of not a stripper name, I didn't think.
No. Well, I think, Trish, her name may have been Sapphire when she was working the pole at the show, but Helen was her real name. So, Trish, you can actually remember this vividly.
Yes, I can. I remember the newspapers and...
Yeah. There you go.
Did you stick it out and put it on your wall or something? You seem quite enamoured by
it. I was in primary school.
Did they do a footy card of it? No?
Yeah.
Nope.
Not that I recall.
Okay, all right. Okay. Thank you, Trish. Call anytime.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Things happen in threes or sometimes just the twos. I was just the other day, right? So Otis, my 7-year-old, okay? Right, this is the little fella. So I was sitting on the toilet, speaking number twos. I actually was. I was sitting on the toilet and I felt this horrendous pain in my foot.
That's rough.
Right? No, seriously, I'm sitting there just minding my own business, doing what you got to do.
Doing
and I've just
business.
Gone, jeez, what on earth is that? And I've looked down and there is a bee between my big toe and the next toe and it has inserted its stinger right in there. And I'm screaming. Anyway, it scared the crap out of me, literally, which was good because we tidied things up very quickly.
Yep.
Anyway, so I've had a sore foot, right? And we've got producer Rach in here. Rach, you could understand the pain of that.
Yeah, that was awful.
Right. So that happens, right? About 2 hours later, I was sitting there in the lounge room and then I hear Otis screaming, 7-year-old, and he's jumping up and down and he's just going, thinking, what is this? Tell me, I can't understand what you're saying. Anyway, he goes, I've been stung by a wasp on the hand.
Oh.
And he said, between his two fingers. And I'm thinking, oh, mate, there's no wasps around. I got done by a bee a couple of hours ago. Ease up. Anyway, he's just screaming. His hand's already red. And I look down and there's this massive wasp just sort of walking, limping around on the floor. So I don't know if once wasps sting you, do they go and die or they still got something in them?
Do you have a screen door?
Yeah, but it was open, as were about three of the other doors externally. Anyway, both of us got nailed on the same day, one by a wasp and one by a bee, and I'm going, what are the chances? Poor little bugger, his hand blew up massively, so I put an ice pack between his fingers and that, and his hand was so big, the two of his fingers were so fat he couldn't bend his hand for, you know, the next day.
And how were your toes up?
No, toes are right, because that's just a bee. But it was like a colonic irrigation. It cleansed everything out of me.
Okay.
But it got to the point where I'm sitting there going, what are the chances? Father and son getting stung by a bee and a wasp on the same day.
Mm, pretty low chances.
Is that a coincidence?
I just think, you need to manage your doors a little better, mate.
Can I ask, have you and one of your daughters and you ever been stung by a bee and a wasp?
No, we have
not. There you go.
One
in a
million. Clearly not close enough.
One in a million. So, what have you been stung by, Rach?
Well, my brother and I have been stung by the same thing on the same day.
There you go.
Yep. We were swimming on a holiday, Gold Coast or somewhere, and this gigantic jellyfish stung him, and he freaked out and just out of reflex picked it up and threw it, and it landed on me. Its tentacles wrapped around my stomach, all around my thigh, and I could not get it off.
Why?
And then I was screaming. It was the most excruciating pain I've ever felt in my whole entire life.
And you work with us.
True. No, I love you guys. Covered in welts and hives, went to the lifeguards and they said, just take a Panadol.
What? So there you go. Yeah. Hey, siblings stung by the same thing on the same day. You know how you get rid of the pain.
Yeah,
isn't that what you're meant to do?
I did not want my brother to wee on me. No.
No, that's a good point.
No.
You probably
petrol
don't.
Helps.
What?
I put petrol on a sting. In Bali, and it helped.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Petrol got rid of the sting.
On a jellyfish?
On a jellyfish sting.
I think that's a wives' tale, isn't
just
it?
Just don't light a match.
You just went and got... Who told you to do that?
No, well, I was on a boat.
Yeah.
And then the boat guy goes, here, have some petrol, and he tipped petrol on me.
That sounds safe.
Yeah.
Stop stinging. I really stank, though.
Right.
And then James is like, I'm going to take up smoking.
the one thing I love about Bali is the safety. It's the best part.
I don't know about Bali.
I don't know about that one.
Right, 13-10-60. What did you get bitten by or stung by and survive?
Okay, survival stories.
Okay.
All right.
And we don't need to know if it was a jellyfish and someone then followed.
Yeah, okay, all right. What did you get bitten? Yeah, well, and survive. What a dumb question. No one's going to call if they didn't survive, are they?
Well, that's obvious, isn't it, mate?
Good call.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Beck, what are the chances? I've got stung by a bee, right, between my big toe and the next toe on the same day that 7-year-old Otis, my little fella, and this is both inside the house.
Yeah.
He got stung by a massive wasp between his fingers, and I'm just thinking that is just frightening.
You need an exterminator.
Absolutely. And then we're talking producer Rach got attacked after her brother threw the jellyfish on her after it attacked him.
That's real Big Brother stuff.
That's it. What have you been bitten by? What have you been stung by?
131060, what did you get bitten by? Christian from Morford Vale, it was your daughter. What was it?
She was doing aquatic surfing down at Middleton near Victor and got bitten by a shark.
Oh, dear, Christian. How bad?
It tore pretty much through her calf muscle and just missed the bone. Had to have surgery. So, yeah, it was quite bad.
So, Christian, were you there at the time?
No, I wasn't. We were at home and got a phone call from the school saying that at first they thought she'd been barbed by a stingray because the hole was all the way through her leg.
Oh,
but yeah, right.
When they got her to hospital, the doctor said, no, she was bitten by a shark. Wow. The hole's two different holes that meet in the middle.
Right. Christian, what happens as a dad when you get that sort of phone call?
I probably can't say on air.
Yeah.
It was pretty frightening. It was lucky it was, she was only in knee-deep water at the time, walking along, pushing the surfboard, and she kicked something.
Yep.
And, yeah, next thing she knew, she felt the grab on her leg, and she felt down, and it had torn through her wetsuit, and she's put her finger in the hole in her leg.
Yikes.
Oh, wow, mate, that is frightening.
How is she now, Christian? Because I know, like, I'm scared of sharks when I'm swimming and I haven't even been exposed to one.
Well, yeah. Her mum's probably more traumatised by her going near the water again than her, but she missed about 17 weeks of netball, had physio the whole way through, and it'll be 12 months this weekend that it happened.
Wow.
And she had a follow-up physio yesterday, and she's got mobility and strength in the muscle, so she has made a full recovery.
Well, I'm glad she's doing all right, mate. I'm glad it ended up well, but geez, what a scary thing for her and for you as parents.
Yeah, what's the scar like? A pretty good flex.
Oh, it's pretty gnarly.
Wow.
It's awesome. The colder it gets, the darker it gets too.
just a lazy shark attack scar.
That's an impressive one to show.
Well done.
Good on you, Christian. I love that too. Pretty gnarly.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
The biggest controversy so far has been Jack, who's the personal trainer, big pecs, shaved head, or the bottom half shaved anyway, who said this to Lauren at a dinner party.
I'm not talking to you, Lauren.
Yeah,
shut your mouth. Can you muzzle your woman?
Muzzle your woman.
Muzzle your woman.
Jeez.
Muzzle a woman like a dog? What the hell is this disrespectful language? We've got Lauren on the line now. Lauren, there's been a lot of controversy, but how did you take that?
Hi, guys. Well, I think you saw how I took it. Not amazingly, but, yeah, it was an interesting evening, that's for sure. Those dinner parties are never dull.
I just don't understand how a man could speak to a woman like that. Anyway, but that was old tea. The fresh tea last night.
The hot tea
was you calling Jono a snake because of the text to Ellie. Wow.
Yeah. I don't really know what to say.
So, Lauren, your bloke's cheating on you?
Not sure, but I think the text messages were inappropriate. Let's put it that way.
Right. How revealing were they?
He wasn't asking her to send him like a shot of her boobs or anything, but it was very like kind of conversational and like get to know you.
Yeah.
Which just kind of took me back a little, which is I think the volume of messages was the concerning side.
What sort of volume?
We're talking like more than 100.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's a bit up there.
I think where there is smoke, there is a conflagration and the whole building burnt down here.
He used to be a firefighter, Lauren.
Oh, I like that analogy. I like that.
Okay. Well, let's cut to the chase. We have seen Pap pictures of them together post-show. So can you comment on that?
I'm actually not allowed to comment on that. You know what it's like, the powers that be, but I'll let you make your own assessment.
I'll comment on it.
He's
clearly knocking off another chick.
Yeah. Final vows are coming up. I'm guessing that when it went into production, you hadn't seen these Pap pictures of them frolicking in the surf.
Not.
So what's in your mindset in terms of heading into final vows, knowing what you knew then about Ellie?
Look, I think Ellie is a really lovely person and she's a great girl, and I didn't
Do you really, Lauren?
Well, I'm talking of my mind frame going into that. Also, I have to make something very clear. I wasn't married to Ellie.
True.
I'm married to Jono.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm not really the kind of person that's going to gung after the other girl. But, going into the final vows, after that dinner party, it was, like, there was so much going on in my mind. And, it wasn't a difficult one, but, you know, you just have to wait and see.
Lauren, what do you think of her now then, given that's what you thought about when you went in?
I still think Ellie is a lovely girl. And, you know, when a church mouse meets an altar boy, sometimes it's a match made in heaven.
Righto. Fair enough. I'm tipping, Lauren, that you probably don't stay with this bloke, given what we've seen floating around everywhere by paparazzi and that. But can I ask, have you found some peace and happiness since this?
I found lots of peace and happiness, and you'll just have to find out.
Okay. Oh, good. Well, I hope things have worked out well, given
Thanks, guys.
If you've been out there and you're putting yourself on the line, good on you for speaking the truth or what you see.
Thank
and
you.
Better than sitting in the corner copping all the crap, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
So no regrets about going on the show?
No regrets. None at all.
All right, Lauren. Well, I've been loving some of your one-liners, Dahl. You're very entertaining. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep. Good luck.
Hey, Lauren. Thanks, guys. I'm no expert at relationships. Believe me. Two or three messages, text messages would be a red flag. A hundred's a bloody big stinking red flag waving in front of your head, I reckon, by the sound of this bloke.
I think you're absolutely spot on there.
Good on you. Take care. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Thank you, Lauren from Math.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
So we've been noticing over the past few months that when we have callers with an accent, you have this sort of little side hustle hobby to pick their accents.
Well, I think some of them are pretty clear and obvious. Mm. Others, you know, you sometimes get a little bit of a mix, or, you know, like you sometimes struggle with the Canadian and the American.
I do.
And I tell you what, Canadians hate being called American.
I do.
But yeah, some of them I reckon I can get okay, because I was sort of lucky enough to live overseas for a little while, so you meet people from different countries.
He's an international man of mystery.
Wow.
So we put you to the test last week, and you picked, one of our callers was Joe from Wollonga, and you had picked that she was from Wales, which is a good get, because I was nowhere near it. But then we asked you to narrow down the region of Wales.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I knew it wasn't north. Right, because I'd spent a bit of time there. So I sort of went for southern Wales, I reckon, didn't I?
And this is how it played out.
Are you from Swansea?
No, I'm not from Swansea.
Oh, where are you from?
I'm from Llanelli. It's about 10 miles from Swansea.
Oh, that's all right. 10 miles? Jeez.
I think we could play that.
I was 16 kilometres from my hometown on the other side of the world. That's not so bad, was it?
I was not easily impressed by you.
Well, no. No, I'm actually not from Swansea. Well, I could tell you weren't from Cardiff.
We had Russia, Poland, Canada, Wales, and you got the regions pretty close last week. So let's see. Can we trip him up? Can we wipe that smile, that big white teethy
you
smile off
your
face?
You want me to fail, don't you?
It's just a little bit of tall poppy syndrome.
Right. The 131060, if you've got an accent, right, give us a call right now and I will nail it, I hope.
And it's the region as well.
Well,
this is because anyone can go, you're from this country.
But not everyone. I thought everything was South Africa last week.
Well, you did.
Everyone except Beck.
Actually, it's a good point. You think everyone is either American or South African, no matter
regions.
Where. We're a lady from Russia and you're going, oh, I think that's South African. No, mate, that's Moscow. All right, if you've got an accent, 131060, give us a call and I'll see if I can get... Look, I'm pretty good with the country and I reckon we'll have a crack at some of the regions. But right. any accent, come on, take it on.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
All right, Soda, we're putting you to the test. We picked up you were pretty good at picking accents, so we got people to call in last week and you got 4 from 4, including down to the, what, about 10-mile radius in the actual continent or country.
Yep.
So let's see if you can do it again. It's over to you, accent guy.
Okay, righto. Let's go. Where are we starting? We're going to go to Andrew, right? Let's go to Andrew. Where's from West Croydon? G'day, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Sorta, my man. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, mate, I'm good, Andy. I'm good. Right, how long have you been in Adelaide?
I have been here since 2010. I saw Lara Bingo and she said, "Where the bloody hell are you?"
Yep.
And I was a backpacker and I came out travelling. I'm still here.
Right, so essentially it was just for a little holiday. Did you meet an Aussie?
Have, mate. I met an Aussie, married, 2 kids and got a house. So,
brilliant.
Good dream, so, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, Andrew. Well, we can go right from the start. Big, you can get this. What country?
Irish?
No. Oh, my
Excuse
God.
Excuse me?
Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, this is not my game. Don't bring me into it.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Hang on. Now, Beck, you've been watching a TV show, a series recently, right, called One Day.
Yeah.
What country is that shot in?
That's,
where are they?
They're in the UK.
Whereabouts?
They're in London.
No, they're not in London. the start of that show at the moment, which is going great guns.
I just was...
Right, they actually start in Edinburgh, don't they, in Scotland?
Oh, they do too.
Right, because they're graduating from university. Right, so I can tell you, Andrew, you're definitely from Scotland, but you're not from Edinburgh.
Correct.
Right, and I would turn around and say, so Beck...
I was just watching it for the love story. Right. I don't know where that
was. Mate, do you love Simple Minds, the band?
I'm a bit too young, but not too bad. Not too
okay.
bad.
Jim Kerr, mate, I'm going to say from Scotland. You're not from Edinburgh. Beck, how about we go Glasgow? Andrew, where are you from?
I am from about 40 minutes west of Glasgow, so I'll take that.
Yeah. Right. Hey! Well done. Okay.
Okay.
Andy, thanks for the call, buddy.
Cheers.
Good on you.
The subplot of this, making you look smart, making me look stupid.
All right, where are we going next, Becky? Okay. We got
Lindsay from Semaphore Park. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, Lindsay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. How long have you been in Australia?
Since 2017.
Right. So you still got that strong accent there. I'm loving this for Beck. Beck, come on.
No, I'm not playing.
Ask Lindsay a question.
No, do you know what? Yeah. You know what? I was thinking of the last episode of One Day then and I tuned out.
Oh, right. Okay, Lindsay, let's have a look. Have you lived anywhere else in Australia or only Adelaide?
Just Adelaide.
Just in Adelaide. Righto.
Yep.
Well, Lindsay, Beck, you have a stab at this. Come on. Did you say UK before?
Yeah.
Well, you're right. It's UK, but whereabouts?
Hang on. Lindsay, can just tell me what your favourite food is.
Chinese food.
Oh, okay. That's confusing me.
Beck, she's not from Shanghai.
Are you from Beijing?
No. I'm going to say that you're definitely from the UK, in central sort of UK.
Yeah.
Right. You're not a Scouser, so you're not from Liverpool.
No.
No, and you're not from Birmingham.
No.
North of Birmingham, would that be right? North of Birmingham? Are you from Manchester?
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive, Lindsay. All right. Okay, keep the calls coming on 131060. That's 2 from 2.
Two from two.
Yeah, and
right.
Beck 0 from 2.
Zero from 2.
I'm
around the
North.
UK. Okay. Right.
And you were in the UK, but I...
And Glasgow.
I would have just said London.
All right. The accent game.
At least you didn't say South Africa again.
Soda can guess where you're from, the region as well. 2 from 2. Can you stump it?
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
All right, we're playing the accent game. Soda can pick your accent and your region. He hasn't got it wrong yet. It's like Magic Mark all over again.
I've got to say, I've got sweaty armpits. Look, it's sweating. I'm sweating through
in
my windshield.
You are actually a little bit nervous about this.
I am. This is, yeah. I think picking countries is good, but the area and the cities is tough.
I can't even get the country, so.
No, that's a good point.
Okay. Our next contestant, Tanya, is in Jepp's Cross. Reveal yourself.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we are very, very good, Tanya. Righto. What do you love about Australia, Tanya?
Everything. The weather, the beach, everything.
Right, it's beautiful. And when did you move out here?
Sorry?
When did you move to Adelaide?
In 2008.
2008. All right, so you've been here a little while. Oh, Beck,
and where did you move from,
Jenna? Yeah. No, that's what you guys
forget.
Right.
For
okay, yeah. Beck. Beck, what are you thinking?
No, I don't.
Have a go. Come
don't
on.
Don't make me have a go.
This is obvious.
Thank you.
Come on. What does Tanya sound like? What sort of vibes are you getting?
Eastern European.
Yes. Whereabouts?
Yep. Polish.
No. Tanya, would you find that offensive if Beck called you Polish?
No, not at all, but I'm not Polish.
Okay. Well, Beck, do you want me to tell you where she's from?
Yes.
I'm certain you're from Russia, Tanya. Would that be right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely right. Well
Perfect.
Done.
All right, I'm going to have a stab. I'm going to say, look, I know it's obvious, but I'm thinking you're pretty close to Moscow.
Yes.
How far away?
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
How far from Moscow?
I can't believe it.
How far?
It's 260 k's north of Moscow.
Oh, can I have that? Can I claim that? Russia's big.
Have it.
Russia's big. Good on you, Tanya. Okay. Can I claim that? 260 k's yeah. from Moscow?
I don't know. Oh, she said yes.
Where's your radius, you guys? Right.
Well, I was over in Poland, so.
Good point. Right. Okay, where are we going?
All right, let's go to Arian in Ascot Park.
Arian. All right, g'day, Arian. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
Right. Is that how we pronounce your name, Arian?
Yeah, pretty much. It's Arian.
Arian. All right, Arian. Yeah. Okay, when did you come to Adelaide?
Only about a year ago.
Right, so there's still very thick accent there. Mm. Right. Any go as Beck?
No, please leave me out of it.
Okay, I'll give you a hint.
Right.
I'll give you a hint. It's somewhere in England. Would that be right, Arian?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right. Ooh, jeez. We just
it's
had Manchester
strong.
Before. Yeah, you've only been here since last year. It's definitely not London, right?
No, not London, no.
You're too far north of London. So,
yeah.
Where did we have before? We had Manchester. It sort of feels a bit Manchester-y, but not quite. What about, are you sort of near Nottingham?
No.
You're not? Oh.
No.
Whereabouts?
I'm from Derbyshire.
Yeah.
Hang on, where's Nottingham compared to Derbyshire?
Well, Derbyshire's massive, but I'm from like sort of the south of Derbyshire near Manchester.
Near Manchester.
Yeah, it's like about 50 miles outside of Manchester.
Right. So how far is that from Nottingham? Probably an hour drive, 2 hours?
Yeah, maybe 2 hours, yeah.
Oh, come on. No, can I get that one? No,
it's like driving to Tail and Bend a bit from here.
No, closer than
come
that.
Come on.
One more. We've got to get to news.
2 hours
close
drive.
We've got to get to news.
Okay.
All right. One more.
Where are we going now?
Okay, we're going to Salisbury Downs. It's good morning to Lynn.
Okay, Lynn, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Anil.
Ooh, very well, Lynn. Righto. Lynn. Lynn with a male's name.
Mm-hmm.
With a male, right. Lynn, when did you come to Australia?
About 15 years ago now.
Okay, geez, I tell you what, we're spending a lot of time around the UK at the moment.
The great accents as well. I love
know.
Hearing accents.
But they're so
beautiful.
Diverse. Yeah. That's the bit. Okay, yeah. Lynn, tell me, did you find a partner from here or you came over with a partner from home or...?
Yeah, I came over with a partner from home. She's a local girl to me as well.
All right. Beck, it's not Scotland, right?
Okay.
And it's not Ireland. It's not... are you Welsh, Lynn?
I am.
Okay.
See, that sounds Irish to me. I'm sorry.
No, it can't be... Well, say... All right, hey, Lynn, say 33.
33.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
He's
no,
not
I,
Irish.
Yeah, okay.
Right, we're going to go Wales. What are we thinking? Wales. Beck, what are the two biggest cities in Wales, do you reckon?
North, south, and south of Wales.
Right. Cardiff, Swansea, where else? That'd be the main ones down
New South Wales?
I'm going to go.
Come
I'll
on.
Take a.
M's waiting
I'm going to go Swansea, Lynn.
You're close.
How
yes,
far?
I am. Well, put it this way, I'm about 20 odd minutes away from Swansea.
I'll give you that one. give you 20 minutes. You get 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Well done. He's done
right,
it again.
Well done.
Thank you, Lynn.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
So I am open to feedback, believe it or not.
Excellent.
So when a friend sat me down at a coffee and said, look, you have been angrier than usual lately and I've had some other symptoms that do fit, not into menopause, I haven't had any hot flushes, but in that perimenopausal stage, yes, late 40s.
When your friend comes to you seriously, right, and she says to you, Beck, and it is serious, you are angrier than normal. Did you hear her? Did you actually? No,
no, because she said it. She said it with love. She said, "You just deserve to be happy, and you're not yourself. And I think it's might be your hormones, and you should actually seek some professional advice."
Right, and so you see her pretty regularly. This friend,
I do. I see her weekly,
so she knows you well.
Yeah,
right.
And then you guys very kindly got me some professional help on the show.
Well, we got Sylvia from Blue Sky Psychology to join us just to give you some tips because, like you said, but you were alarmed by this when your friend comes to you and goes, you're angrier than normal.
I don't want to be angry. I don't angry Kathy,
let alone
Karen.
Angrier. Right, this is what Sylvia said.
One thing you can do is start off writing a list of the common things that might make you feel a bit angry. So look at your triggers.
That list would take me a long time. My list of triggers. I need a full journal.
So we'll also look at your general health and well-being, things that you can do like getting some more exercise.
Sylvia, are you saying I'm overweight? Because I have been spreading a bit around the middle region.
Jeez, no need to tee off on Sylvia.
Reducing caffeine. Sometimes people.
Well, that's not going to happen, Sylvia. I love my coffee, so don't tell me to give that up.
Jeez, Sylvia was in the firing line pretty quickly, wasn't she?
Sylvia has said, I think you need to find another practitioner. I can't help you. But so I did make an appointment with my GP based on my friend's advice and I said to her, look, I think I'm having some perimenopausal symptoms.
Mm.
She said there are a couple of treatment options, but she said, first of all, I've got a checklist.
Yep.
I'm going to run through that checklist with you.
Do you show my checklist is longer because Sylvia asked me to list everything that makes me stressful and angry and annoyed?
We didn't do trigger points. She just did a generic checklist. She asked me to rate 0, which is never.
Yes.
3, which is always.
Yep.
How I feel on a range of perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms. Now, a lot of them are ones that we've discussed on this show. The hot flushes, mood swings, dry skin, weight gain, sleeplessness, itchiness.
Yep.
It's such a joy being a woman. But there were two on the list that I have been feeling that I hadn't associated with perimenopause. And I'm wondering if other women of my age or in the decade before or after are feeling this way and can't explain what it is. It made me feel a bit comforted, actually, to know that these were symptoms that perhaps might be out of my control, that I might be able to fix. So I'm going to share with you what those two signs are and hopefully it helps some other women as well.
Okay. This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
So I've been sharing the journey of what I believe is perimenopause, which is just no fun. I had been experiencing some of the symptoms, but a friend kind of intervened and said, oh, I think you're a little bit angrier than usual. So I made an appointment to see my GP.
Angry than usual, angry not angry.
I can be. I'm pretty angry. No, I'm an animated, passionate person.
Who was your friend that said it?
Marie.
Right. So when Marie says that to you, angrier than usual.
Yeah.
Did you think of the usual bit?
I thought, okay, there's a benchmark of anger, which is probably higher than most people's. But as I said, I think I'm a passionate person. I'm pretty outspoken. So, angrier than usual did make me rethink my personality a little bit. So I took her advice. I went and saw my GP and she brought out a checklist and asked me to rate from 0 to 3 how I was feeling, 0 being never and 3 being all the time.
Yep.
So a lot of them were symptoms that I had been experiencing and have heard of that people would know, the hot flushes, dry skin, mood swings, weight gain, sleeplessness, itchiness.
Anything jump out on those sort of standard ones?
No, and some
not
of them
really.
Were 0. Like I haven't had any hot flushes. I'm sleeping okay. I'm not.
Yep.
But there were a couple that she got to that I didn't realise were symptoms of perimenopause and it may come as a surprise to some women as well. And the first was anxiety. And I had a bit of a think about that and I ended up settling on 2 for that.
So 2 meaning like feeling regularly but not all the time.
Regularly feeling that way. And I have not. I've never experienced it in my life before. I'm very confident. I'm quite extroverted. I've never really been an anxious person until the last 12 months.
Putting a two is quite significant.
Yeah.
And did you? Is there anything when you start to think about that that you go, geez, that's what's made me feel anxious, or you still sort
no,
of can't
No, I started
put a finger
thinking
on
it? About, like, for example, in social situations, I used to be quite confident walking into a room. If I didn't know anyone, yep. I wouldn't bring a plus one. And now increasingly I'm maybe avoiding social situations I usually would go to. I'm getting home and I'm replaying conversations and thinking, that was so dumb. Why did you say that?
Oh, yeah. But the other thing too is, you know, if you notice this, I reckon as you get a little bit older, you sort of develop a thicker skin, your tolerance drops a bit, or is it more you just go, you know what, I cannot be bothered suffering fools.
Yeah, maybe, you know? Maybe that. But I just, yeah, I feel... I have self-doubt that I didn't have when I was younger. So right. I thought, okay, well, that it made me feel a little bit better. It normalised those symptoms for me a little bit. But yep. the next one that she said, have you been feeling unloved? And I was like, what? I'm like, how can that be a symptom?
Yep.
And then I kind of had to think about it. I would love to say zero, say never. And I settled on two for that.
For unloved?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just think, I don't know whether it's like, because my kids are now a bit older, like they're 12, 15 and 21.
Yep.
They don't really need me. I feel less relevant in their lives. Well,
yeah,
I had
right.
Because when I went home, I went, how did I settle on two for feeling unloved? Like I've got a very loving community around me. But I have lately been feeling a little bit irrelevant and unloved.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In family, work,
social, yeah,
bit
I've
of
just
everything?
Felt a bit unsettled and out of sorts, and and unloved, and to think that might be a trick of my hormones, and I've been feeling this way for nothing, and that other women might be feeling the same way and could get a very simple diagnosis and help solve it.
So, what's the options? Does the doctor give you?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to start some sort of HRT because I don't want to feel like
which
this
is
anymore, like hormone replacement, so a gel or something. I've got a few options that I haven't started that I have to think about. But if it could make me or other women feel less anxious and more loved, I mean, or you could just hug me more often.
Bring it in, sister. But so this therapy will.
I hope so. And if it doesn't, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm going to try and
good start.
Fix it.
Yeah.
Good on you. Good on you for going and getting some help with it.
Yeah,
nice.
Well done.
Excellent.
Righto.
Hey,
seriously, and if you are feeling some of those sort of feelings, please reach out and talk to someone.
Go and see your GP. Start there.
Yeah, why not?
Do you love me?
Oh, come on. Hug it in. Come on. Let's hug it in.
Don't strap the lie detector on. Yes, of course we do. Yeah. Come here.
One of SA's fastest growing sales and rental companies. Sold by McGain Again. And now you can listen to Beck and Soda again on this podcast. SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. Number one for fun.
SAFM.